Tell me more about how his eyes look, Simon.
It's almost as if Simon enjoys being chastised by Baz or something.
Like, is this how you describe your enemies? It's really not.
Hot.
Yeah, like, basically. I feel like I just want to be like, quote-unquote, enemies for every time we bring up Baz.
You want to get sexy?
Yeah, let's get to the sexy stuff.
Hello, and welcome to Escape from Reality, a podcast where two queer IRL witches talk about Any Way the Wind Blows by Rainbow Rowell. I am Lark Malachi Gray.
And I am Jesse Blount. And today we are talking about chapters 31 and 32 of Any Way the Wind Blows, in which chapter 31, Agatha, who we have not heard from in several episodes, is exhausted from herding goats, and on the drive to Watford, her and Neve get into a fight because Neve is pissed that no one is worried about the goats, and also somehow pissed at Agatha because Neve thinks that she's still with Simon. Agatha clears that right up. yeah. Anyway, it turns out there is an old myth that if the magical flying goats, !! of Watford leave the school, they take their magical protection with them, which keeps the normals away from the building, which would suck. This is not common knowledge because Agatha is like, what the fuck? And Neve is like, I'm the only one who seems concerned about this. And then in chapter 32, it is Baz and Simon a little bit. They are arguing a little bit about how to sneak into the Chosen One meeting. And then they argue a little bit about Lam, which ends up with some erotic tail touching, not a euphemism, actually kind of a euphemism, and some knees negotiation because sometimes Simon does not want a gentle touch, which is both sweet and sexy.
Heck yeah. All right. Reminder, every episode is longer on Patreon, so consider joining us there if you like what we've got going on. Our patrons are the whole reason we can make podcasts. So also, thank you to everyone who's already supporting us.
Thanks, everyone.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star written review like Hufflepuff Bumblebee did recently, because they make us happy and help people find the podcast.
Yay. Yeah, and it is something you can do for free.
Yep.
Anyway, I guess we should start this podcast off.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, we're going to get started with Easy Come, Easy Go, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else. I feel like the gayest thing that's happened in this series so far is when Agatha is trying to get Neve to remember who Baz is, and Neve is like, oh yeah, pale, crooked nose. And Agatha's just like, I mean, yes, but I have never heard him described.
This is literally also my first thing, because it is so funny. Just Neve is just like, I don't know what dudes look like. Like, you want to pay attention? No, I'm sorry. I'm just like,
I know, it's so great.
Yeah.
I literally laughed out loud when I got to that
line. It is very funny.
It's so funny.
I really love how in Neve trying to be like, you know, the magical flying goats of Watford, and Agatha being like, what the fuck are you talking about? Neve is like, you know, in the coat of arms for Watford. And Agatha's like, those aren't Pegasus? It's like, no, those are flying goats.
Yeah. I love that it's, I thought those were Pegasus, .. says like that it in the book does the thing that every single person does out loud when trying to figure out what the plural of Pegasus is. I really appreciated that.
It was really good.
Also in that conversation, Agatha has the audacity to make the claim that she's not anti-Watford, and I was just like, liar. You are on the record numerous times as being extremely anti-Watford, actually.
Yeah, if your roommate wasn't trying to get you to join a cult, you would have never stepped foot in Watford ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
I should not have anything else here.
Cool. I only have one more thing, which is like the one thing that I was like, could I put this in Face the Truth? Maybe, but I don't want to talk about it for that long. So I just want to give an honorable mention to the fact that fuck the mage for hoarding books and not letting anyone read them. That guy sucks. I don't want to give him any more of my time.
I know. Yet another like fucking mage moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Welcome to I See a Little Silhouette of a Man, where we talk about character development.
I feel like everything I have in this is about Simon and Baz, but mostly about Simon.
Okay, let's start with Simon.
I feel like the Baz and Simon chapter, I just have it as kink negotiation, but like not actually kink negotiation. It's just like Simon is voicing needs that he has to Baz, and Baz is like, this is great. This is what I want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, same. I mean, my literal note is I'm so proud of Simon for voicing his needs. Like, he's 19. Honestly, I don't know if I could have done that when I was 19.
I can really do that now, and I'm almost 40. So right. I'm like, it's still in, like, I'm like, this is the one thing I need to work on in therapy. And I'm like, almost middle age. And I'm like, oh, Simon, you're doing great.
Listeners, for the record, Jesse, didn't you just turn 38? Are you going to be almost 40 for 2 years?
Yes.
Is that your plan? Okay. Seems overly dramatic.
I am a homosexual. I feel like it is of my culture to be overly dramatic. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm proud of Simon for doing the kind of emotional work that I am just barely starting to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really proud of him, too. I also thought that the sentence, what is it? It's like, touch me or don't, but don't whisper on me. I was like, ooh, whisper on me. Like, that's just some really good phrasing that I really appreciated. Yeah.
And also, I feel like, I don't know, it was such a good description of, like, what that sort of, like, super light touch sort of feels like. And,
yeah,
you know, not everyone is into that. Including right. Our sweet dragon boy right here.
Yeah. Speaking of, I just realized that we never talked about that email that we got where someone rounded up all of the things that you called Simon. And so...
Wait. Are you sure?
I don't think we did. I'm going to make something for Instagram that like rounds them all up. So listeners, keep an eye on our Instagram for that. Because some incredible person went through and found every different adorable nickname Jesse has given to Simon over the years.
I got to say, I love nerds. That is exactly the kind of shit that nerds do. And I love it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm pretty sure we haven't talked about it. I guess I don't know for sure. Who knows how time works.
I feel like I have a memory of you reading that out loud to me. And I'm like, was that on camera? I thought so. But maybe not.
Oh, gosh. Who knows? Someone does. Someone listening right now knows for sure, but not us. Okay. Oh, yeah. And let me grab my book. The only other thing that I had sort of about Simon and Baz here is just like this moment at the very end of the chapter mm-hmm. where they're kissing and Baz is like, you know, Simon is like kissing me hard and like I kiss him back firmly and like I'm thinking, you're all I want. You can have everything you need. I'm not sure what he's telling me with this kiss. I pretend it's yes and yes and be kind to me. And then we just briefly get this shot of like Simon's inner monologue in which he's saying, fine, you fucker, have me, just have me, do your worst, you stubborn twat, be the death of me, you'll be the death of me.
You know, everything has to kind of be a fight for Simon, I think, which feels understandable as someone who is very recently a child soldier, so.
Yeah, and I also feel like if you tone tagged this, it would be, like, affectionate.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think that there's anything negative about this sentiment from Simon.
Yeah, it's like aggressively affectionate.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, maybe just to add to the sort of, like, we get a little bit of Baz comparing the way that Simon moves his tail like an angry cat, but, like, a little bit like petting a cat, and the cat, like, lightly bites you. And it's like, do you want me to move my hand? Because now you're biting me, and I can't move my hand. And the cat is like, no. And it's like, no, what? What do you want me to do?
Yeah. So,
that's just kind of what that reminds me of.
No, I think that makes sense. Do you have anything else about Simon and or Simon and Baz?
Yeah. So I really like that Simon is here. Is also like, you know what? I don't want any more spells trying to change my face or my wings. And I'm like, good for you, Simon. You've been, I think, sort of saying this essentially, like, for a while. But I'm glad that you just, you know, are directly like, no, none of this.
Yeah.
And also like clearing the air about Lam a little bit, which is... Again, I was trying to think, because I'm like, this is like what, like not even 3 weeks from them coming back?
It's very recent.
So
yes.
I'm like, oh no, this is actually still fresh in your mind. This is less than a month ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think regardless of how much time had passed, it would be good to just be like, for Simon to hear from Baz, like it was literally not like that from my side, you know?
Right.
And I just really appreciate it that we got, you know, just so you know, like, you know, some reassurance from Baz. It's like, it was definitely not like that.
Right.
And also that Baz should, in fact, take Simon out for ice cream.
I know. Oh, my God. I love it.
Go on a cute date. Oh.
Right now.
Exactly.
I wanted to talk about Neve a little bit, if that's cool. So Neve, you know, spends the beginning of this chapter just, like, so frustrated that, like, no one knows or cares about this thing that's just, like, incredibly important to her. And then as soon as Agatha is like, wait, I am now genuinely interested, please tell me about it. And Neve, like, has the opportunity to express, like, why should everyone care? We immediately see her start to, like, downplay and, like, dismiss the importance of the thing that she's been saying is so important and be like, I'm probably just being dramatic, whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, no character has ever been so relatable. Like, this, I just wanted to, like, reach through the page and be like, stop, no, stop it. Just have this, just have the moment where Agatha wants to hear the story and you get to tell the story and you can both care about a thing together. Please let yourself have this.
Yeah. Yeah, because Agatha's definitely in now. And yeah, I also want that for Neve.
Yeah. I feel like you had Agatha at wings, yeah. You know? She was just like, what the fuck? Great. I don't even care if they're protecting Watford. I want to see the wings.
Which, you know? Honestly, I'm here for this. I would also be like, wait, we have flying goats and no one told me. Excuse me.
Right, turn the car around. We have to go back. Welcome to Caught in a Landslide, where we rant about stuff. Also, go leave us a 5-star written review. Thank you.
I want to start off with, surprise, as an animal weirdo, I'm also, like, deeply empathize with Neve's frustration, because if I was like, cool, I'm going to a magical school and we're not learning about magical animals, I would feel like, I'm like, what kind of scam is this? Like, no.
Yeah.
Excuse me? No. Why aren't we learning about dragons and the flying goats that literally are the only thing keeping this school from being a fucking Panera Bread, you know? Like, come on.
Yeah. I feel like you would have started, like, a covert magical 4-H club if the mage was not going to allow you to be an officially sanctioned student club.
Fucking mage. Yeah. Neve is right about that. And the fucking mage, once again, being the worst. Because, like, how could you not care about magical animals, you douchebag?
I know. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So honestly, my like primary rant here is just like in both of these chapters, the level of like flirting is so big, you know, and I'm not totally sure that flirting is the right word for what's taking place between Agatha and Neve. It could just be like vibing maybe, but they're like really finding a rhythm in the way that they communicate with each other. That's like just really fun to read. Like, and I love that, like, we're getting it from Agatha's POV, and I'm kind of curious what it would be like to get it from Neve's POV, because I have the sense that Agatha is having significantly more fun than Neve is having, but also that that doesn't matter. And I don't know, I just like really love reading their interactions, and then obviously everything happening with Simon and Baz, just from a like flirty perspective, super fun.
I know, it is. Yeah, everything Simon and Baz is just like, yes, this is what I've been waiting two and a quarter books for.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just, you know, because they like talk about the lamb thing, but they also do it really lightheartedly. And like, I love that it ends with Simon being like, but he was just like really fucking hot though. And Baz is like, am I the one that needs to be jealous? You know, yeah. Like, I just, oh, it feels so good. I'm just like,
yeah. And they're like touching during the whole conversation, which is like, I think also helps to keep it like lighthearted and like not intense, you know, because Baz is still like, it's like, I am literally here with you touching your tail and not in Vampire Las Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think, I feel like vibing is a good word for what is going on between Neve and Agatha. Because yeah, like I feel like at the end of the chapter, it's like, y'all have found a rhythm to like be able to like communicate with each other, which is great. And also, speaking of clearing the air, like Neve not knowing, now hearing from Agatha that Agatha is in no way, shape, or form with Simon. And it's like, nope, Simon has a boyfriend. It's all good. It's like, also helping the vibing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting because I don't think necessarily that Neve was like frustrated about Agatha being taken so much as Neve was her general sense of, you know, Simon and crew is like, you ruined my education.
Yeah.
Like, I hold all of this resentment, and somehow Agatha being like, oh my god, no, I broke up with him, has like absolved Agatha of that, and now Neve can meet her where she is currently.
Yeah, I want to clarify that I think that Neve doesn't like Simon for that reason of the education, and also, as we're learning, as a vet, as an animal weirdo, probably horrified with the amount of magical animals and maybes that Simon has just point blank murdered in the 7 years that he's been at Watford, and like doesn't really think about it except for, I don't want to say like an anecdote to his life, but like kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like that, along with the sort of disruption to everyone's education, is the reason where Neve is probably just like, I don't like that dude.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So, yeah. My last thing is, do you think Middley like inherited the mage's library after he was murdered? Because Neve is like, the mage took a bunch of the books about animals and maybes, and I'm like, so where are those books now? Like, who has them?
Am I making up? Did we learn a few chapters back that no one knows where all of the shit that the mage seized ended up?
I think that sounds correct. But I guess I'm not necessarily talking about whatever ridiculous, I don't know, black magic, quote unquote, counterband the mage was taking. But like, if there was just like, here are some 100-year-old encyclopedias about how to take care of magical farm animal kind of thing.
I mean, I think that if it was like in his office, that Mittley probably inherited it. I think there's a chance. Like, I suspect that the reason that the mage took all of that stuff was because he was finding, like, deep bad magics that he could sort of scrounge from these places, and was like, well, if I can do this, then someone else can do it too. Yeah. So I think there is a chance that he hid it. So if the other shit that he stole is still missing, I think it's possible that the books are also missing.
That fucking dude.
I know.
It's like...
I hope not. I hope that,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, they just find like a storage unit somewhere and they're like, thank God, here it's just full of books that the mages confiscated. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Welcome to Send Shivers Down My Spine, where we talk about sexy stuff.
I just have tail touching in all caps.
It's really fun. I love it. It's like, I don't know. I really like that Baz is like, I never thought this would be a thing that I'm into, but turns out Fitz attached Simon, I'm into it. And I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah, this is really great.
Yeah. And like, also just what a good acceptance of all of the parts of Simon, including the dragony bits. And yeah, just like the way he's just sort of like, oh my God, this is going to sound so sexual. Just like, he's just like stroking and like playing with it is like, you know, he's like, oh, it feels like kid leather or whatever phrase he says, kid gloves, like really, like a really fine, soft leather. And I'm like, it is definitely a tactile thing going on. Sounds fun. Whatever you're doing,
babe. Yeah, I mean, the fact that Simon is like blushing so much throughout the entire experience, like... everything is clearly very like heightened. I love, and like the fact that they're just like having this like semi-casual conversation, like very flirty conversation, but not like explicitly sexual conversation, while they're doing this sort of like easing into being more sexual with each other thing too. I just think it's all really great. It just makes me really happy.
I know. It is just, yeah, the whole thing is just really excellent and just excellently written. That's not even a phrase. Yeah. It is very, yeah. Everything about it is great. I love it.
Yeah. My only other thing here is just that, like, Agatha's so fucking thirsty for Niamh, and I love it. Like, we cannot get through a chapter without Agatha being like, her fucking face, it just doesn't fit with this hair. It's ridiculous. I should really tell her how to fix it, because it's just so silly for this face to not have the correct hair on it. I mean, come on. And you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, Agatha's fixation about Niamh's severe lesbian bun is the only way I can envision it in my brain is very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you look like Marlon Brando. You need hair that fits that. Get with it. You're like, soon.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very, it's great. It's everything about it is great. Everyone's getting closer. What a great string of chapters.
Yeah, it's really good. Welcome to Is This Just Fantasy, where we talk about magic and science and magical science and research that we did.
All right. So I want to start off with this whole magical goat myth story that Niamh is telling, where essentially it's like, if all of the goats leave, like, Watford is no longer like a like capital M magical place. It's just some buildings that she's like, can be found on Google Maps, and it's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, wouldn't automatically happen, but I see the whole vibe of that. And I mean, first off, obviously inspired by the whole Tower of London Ravens myth about there are no ravens in the Tower of London, then that whole British Empire will fall, which, I mean, I guess debatable if that is a good thing or not. Sorry to our UK listeners, but I mean, the British Empire is not a thing.
Do you really think that we have UK listeners who think that the British Empire is a good thing?
You know, fair. That is very fair. I would, kind of like, I would hope not. I don't know.
I really hope not.
Yeah. And like, I guess, honestly, do you know what like clipping a bird's wings involves? I think it is something a little bit more, because like the ravens at the Tower of London, like those birds, I don't think can't go anywhere. I think they're like, I think they're, I thought maybe their wings are clipped and they like can't go anywhere.
I mean, I think, isn't it something that you have to like redo? Because aren't you just like trimming their like primary like flight feathers and then they grow new feathers?
Oh yeah, it looks like it is just trimming their primary feathers until, yeah, but they obviously grow new ones. So, which I guess maybe isn't something that would work in this situation. Or,
I mean, if you can't even close the goats in a barn, I really don't think you can clip their feathers. You would have to get their permission to do that too, is my guess.
So I don't know. I think that is a some fun mythology that we're getting. And I feel like I would try to do some like magical goat research. And there is kind of a lot, just because goats are one of like the earliest domesticated animals across like humanity, essentially. Mm-hmm. And like all kinds of cultures and religions have different kinds of like goat iconography and like meaning. So it does seem like fun story. A lot of the sort of goat devil iconography we have right now is just because of like European like Middle Ages art having a lot of goat devil iconography also. Mm-hmm. Which might just be because of like, I don't know, their weird eyes and they're like,
they have really weird eyes and big horns.
And like weird horns. Cause like the image of like a devil goat that has horns that stick up and horns that also curve, like that's a real kind of goat. Like there are goats that have two sets of horns. Yeah. So it makes sense. Goats are real weird looking.
You know, I think it's funny. I feel like goats are the cats of livestock. Like they've been domesticated for so long and yet are still like more or less fucking feral. They do what they want, you know? And I really respect that. Like, good for them.
Yeah. And it's funny you bring this up because I was thinking that Neve is like, half of the herd is gone. And I'm like, where did these goats go? But then if I'm thinking about it, having met goats before, if I'm literally anywhere and I see a random goat, I'm like, that goat climbed a wall, climbed a tree. Like, what's keeping a goat out? Not much in my mind.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I obviously am on goat TikTok, and the number of times that I see a TikTok that's just someone being like, I looked out my window and my like, you know, suburban neighborhood and found a bunch of goats. And it turns out that someone 5 miles away rented these goats to like trim a college campus's lawn. And they all just left and came to my street for some reason. You're like, because that's what goats do. Whatever right. The fuck they want.
Yeah.
I think it bothered me more this read than it has previously, that Agatha's like, tell me the old wives tale, and then Neve is sort of like, here are two very short and to the point sentences, and I was like, that is not an old wives tale. I think I was like extra bothered by it today because I've been following this person on TikTok who for Black History Month is doing like a different folk tale for every day, and like basically, the first time I open TikTok every day, TikTok is like, this is what you want first, right? And I'm like, yes. Like, because this person is an incredible storyteller. And like, I was like, this is what you should do if someone's like, tell me a folk tale, tell me an old wives tale. Like, you should tell a story. And I was like, Neve, tell a story. Like, you've got Agatha captive in your car for like as long as you want to expound about these goats. Like, start at the beginning.
Right. It's like, were the goats here first? Probably. If it's like, right. Well, the whole magic of the school being hidden from normals is dependent on these goats being here. So I'm like, so the goats have been there for a long ass time and were probably there first. Like, this is all relevant information.
Exactly.
To know. And again, also weird that no one is being taught this. It's like, oh, the goat's on the, you know, on the crest that's presumably in everyone's blazer. It's like, those are just metaphorical goats, metaphorical flying goats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it is a good, I don't know, you know how things like get lost through time that eventually someone is like, oh fuck, that like was genuinely important, but like over the course of time everyone just started being like, yeah, but it's not like it's not like actively important. It's just like an idea. And then it's like, no, it's not. I feel like the goats seem to be like that. Like, did Eb even know why the goats were important? Or did she just know that the goats were there and needed someone to care about them? And she was good at that, you know?
Yeah. And like, honestly, also how much of that connection Eb had with the goats was also the goats being like, well, we're magic and we would like you to take care of us. So we're pals now.
Yeah.
I guess that also, that does make sense, because I feel like I've read that there are materials that like used to be made to make like ancient, still existing built structures in the world where we're just like, we don't know how they did that. Like, we don't know the recipe for that. And it's like, how do we not know the recipe for that? Like, what? And it's like, yes, things somehow get lost, or, you know, some, you know, the Library of Alexandria burns down. It's like, wow, we lost a lot of shit in there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I guess, you know, if it's considering how much damage the mage did to Watford and what students could learn there, I guess all it takes is a couple of other asshole headmasters to just be like, no one needs to know about that. And then, you know, several years later, generations later, no one fucking knows about that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Because Neva's like, yeah, Midley is doesn't really, this is not a priority for her. And it's like, as the headmaster, probably should be.
It should be, but like, I mean, maybe she even thinks that it's true, but it's like, well, I mean, as long as there's like some goats out there, who fucking cares how like the flock is doing, you know?
Yeah.
The only other thing that I have here today is that we get our second magical dog breed. So in addition to Pithbulls, who are maligned in this series, we now have Greater Danes, which has to be what? Like a giant Great Dane, like actually the size of a horse instead of like metaphorically the size of a horse.
Yeah. And obviously their horses come in different sizes. So like probably a dog the size of what people imagine horses are, like, you know, however many hands high people think of a horse. You're like, this horse is like real tall and real large. It's probably the size of that dog.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, is probably really fun to have around, because it's just like you could probably ride that dog like a horse, which who doesn't want that? But also, right, the amount to feed a dog that size.
For real. Oh my god, I know. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Next time we'll be reading chapters 33 through 35. Don't forget, next time will be next month, because the Gay Pirate podcast is coming out right now. So if you like Our Flag Means Death, go listen to that. Also, if you like Star Trek The Next Generation, go listen to The Gaily Planet, because we're doing a trial run of being a Star Trek The Next Generation podcast right now. And the trial will be determined by downloads. So, you know, don't dawdle. Don't be like, I'll check that out someday. Check it out today, right after you finish leaving us a 5-star written review.
Also tell your friends about this podcast or any of our podcasts, because word of mouth is an excellent way for people to get podcast recommendations.
Yeah, and post about us on Instagram and tag us so I can share it, because I don't know, it just gives me a little like flash of dopamine every time that happens. So
yeah.
Need it wherever I can find it, you know? Yeah, everything's in the show notes, as always. And until next time.
Scaramouche.